Blog Talk
Thank
Radio.
You, Jesus.
Go.
Thank you, Jesus. Welcome to Walking in the Spirit with Apostle Crystal Caldwell. We have gone on to do what the Lord has called us to do, moving on from local radio to global radio. Welcome, everyone. And I am your host, Apostle Crystal Caldwell, coming in live tonight to bring you a word from the Lord. And I do want you to sit back and enjoy this next 30 minutes. Amen. I'm going to be coming to you tonight from the book of Matthew, the chapter 25. And I want to share with you a word that the Lord has been sharing and giving to my spirit. I want you to understand tonight where the Holy Spirit is taking us. We have a crisis going on in our nation today, and it has to do with the body of Christ. Let's see what the Lord wants us to understand. He said in Matthew in chapter 25, all the way up in verse 23, his Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." In verse 24, he gives me, "Then he who had received the one talent came and said, 'Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours.'" In verse 26, the Lord said, "But his Lord answered and said to him, 'You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away." What is the Lord trying to explain to us in this hour, saints of God? We are a proud, I said proud, P-R-O-U-D, there is a proud people that wants to be saved, that wants to be Christian, that wants to go to heaven, but they are wasting not only God's money, but they're not maintaining God's sanctuary. They're not maintaining what God is telling them to do. They're not keeping up with what God is explaining to them that they have to do. All we got to do is follow the scripture. All we have to do is abide by what he wants us to do. God has given us a certain amount of work to do, an assignment. Each individual has an assignment to complete. And in our assignments, there is a certain thing that we have to do, which is maintain a particular part of the assignment. Our assignment as people of God is not only to maintain our own salvation, but to help those who cannot help themselves. Now, I'm going to put this in such a way that anyone can understand this. There are many people today in our societies all over the world that have such a problem with keeping up with everyday function, everyday associations, everyday work, everyday routines, everyday schedules. They have such a difficult time sometimes just functioning to get out of bed. And sometimes we bring ourselves to that point where physically we can't get out of bed because our spiritual man is not in order. When your spiritual man is not in order, the physical man cannot function. When the spiritual man is out of order, the physical man is out of order. When the spiritual man cannot move about and cannot do what needs to be done for his daily routine, the physical person also cannot operate or conduct his members in any way either. We have to pay attention to our spiritual man. God don't give us any more than we can handle. He also will not give us what he thinks that we will waste. God knows what our habits are. He knows what our practices are. And everything that we do accordingly, if we don't do according to the word and to the scriptures, you may as well say that you're wasting time. You're wasting God's money. When God gives us our increase, we are supposed to sow that seed back into God's ministry. That seed that we have been given to sow does not come lightly. We have to work for it. We have an obligation to maintain the house of God. Will a man rob God? Absolutely. Yes, a man will rob God. What happens when he does? What happens when people don't give what they're supposed to give back to God? What happens with that? We come into a place, people of God, that we become lazy. Let's look at verse 29 again. For to everyone who has more will be who for everyone who has comma, for to everyone who has more will be given, and he will have abundance. But for him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. That's what happens when you waste God's money. He's going to take away what you already have. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. In other words, somebody's going to get left out. Somebody's going to find themselves hurting because they did not do what God instructed. What exactly does this mean? There are a hurting people in every society. There are people that are emotionally broke down. They are spiritually broke down. They are physically broke down. It is our job and our responsibility to reach out and help those people that cannot function for their self. They're homeless people. They're people that are jobless. They're people that are disabled. They're people that are spiritually retarded. There are people that are spiritually dumb. What exactly does that mean, Apostle? Spiritually retarded means that they're in a place where they're stranded spiritually. They don't know which way to function. They don't know which way to move. Spiritually retarded means that they know the scriptures. They know the word. But they don't know how to use it according to everyday living. They don't know how to function in it because they're in a place that where they're stagnant. That spiritual dumbness will not come off until you get a spiritual breakthrough. It doesn't mean that the person is psychological or mentally retarded. It means that their mentality, their spiritual mentality is staggered. It's stranded. It's stuck. It's stagnant. It's in a place where it can't function spiritually. People have often told me, Apostle, I feel so dead. I don't even know how to function anymore. I feel so desperate. I feel so sick. I feel like I'm in a grave. I feel so depressed. I don't know how to move. That's because they're in that place where disobedience is prevalent over what they're supposed to be doing in ministry. What happens when you're in that place? Pick up your little Bible, and move on out of there. You've got to pray through to break through. There's no other way to break through but to pray through. You've got to ask God help place. And what we're supposed to do as God-fearing servants of God is to look around and see the brothers and sisters in need of help and reach out and pull that brother and sister up and help them to be able to function in the place in which they're sitting. We are obligated as people of God. This is what Christ is looking for in us. This is our assignment. I'm not talking about your position. I'm talking about your assignment. I hear so many times people of God telling me, Apostle, I have an assignment, but I don't know what my assignment is. Well, look around you. Who do you see in need of help? Who do you see in need of prayer? Who do you see in need of any kind of mental assistance, any kind of physical assistance, any kind of disabled assistance? Keep in mind, people of God, just because I use the word disabled does not mean that a person is physically disabled. But in your assignment, where you are, where you're working, if there's anyone at all that you see that has a crisis or has a need and you can't use yourself as that godly person to reach out and help them, I thank you, Holy Spirit, because one of the talents is that some people think that they're too good to reach out and help. But let me tell you what, if you don't carry out your assignment, you're going to be stagnant right there with that individual that needs help. You've got to carry out your assignment as God's people, as God's servant. Your job is to help your brother and sister get up from where they are. Your job is to help people to see the light of day. Your job is to be a witness for the glory and honor of God. He says in verse 30, and cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Yes. That servant is going to be cast into darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth because they did not obey the word of God, because they did not do what they were supposed to do. He says all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from one another as sheep, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goat. Why is that? Because goats cannot work. They're good for eating grass. Goats are good for eating grass. Let me tell you something. What God wants you to do in this hour, people of God, is search yourself. He wants you to search deep down inside of yourself. Am I really a child of the living God? Would I let my brother and sister go? It doesn't matter if you know who they are or not. It doesn't matter if you know them. They might be on the street corner somewhere. It might be somebody you meet at the grocery store. You don't know who. You don't know who's in need. You don't even know who once was a Christian, but they've been so hurt that they got out of where they are, and now they're out there walking around dumb and blind because they don't know where to go. They don't know what to do. They've been hurt. They've been outcast. They've been ostracized. They've been put out of their church. You don't know what the situation is. Some places do that. Some places don't like what they see, and they'll have a person to leave. They don't like. They don't want to do. They don't care to do. And this is where we're wrong in this hour, people of God. We've got to bring ourselves back to the place. First of all, we've got to get back to our knees at the altar. Then we got to ask God to help us be who he has called us to be. Who has God called you to be? What is your assignment? Ask yourself these questions. Who has God called me to be? If I'm not helping my brother, if I'm not helping my sister, who is not like me, who is not where I am in the spirit, who is not where I am in God, if I don't help them find their way back to the cross, I am accountable for that soul. This is everyone, people of God. It's not just talking about church leaders. I didn't even bring that up yet. This is the thing that we need to understand as an individual. as an individual, not only are we working out our own salvation, but we're helping other people get back to theirs. We're helping those who are lost and stranded to find their way back to the cross. My whole priority, getting up every day, I am not worried about nothing except the soul that is struggling with their salvation. I am worried about the people that are lost. My desire, my hunger is to feed people. That's my desire. My desire is to feed people. I'll tell you what. My armor bearers tell me all the time, Apostle, you just love to preach. Okay, I accept that. I do love to preach. But I love to feed people. So if I love to preach, then that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to feed you. I'm going to feed you the word. You're not going to get a sermon because I don't know how to write sermons. So let's just cast that to the side. You're going to get the word. I open the Bible and I start preaching and feeding right where I open the Bible because that's where the Holy Spirit has me studying all week. This is where I am. Spirit wants you to know that this is the hour to break those chains off. Those spiritual chains have got to be broken. Those familiar spirits that are leeching onto you, they got to be broken off. Quit holding on to dead memories. Leave those things alone. The Bible declares that the dead knows nothing about the living. So quit trying to raise up people that are gone. It's not going to work. That's witchcraft. Keep in mind that the people that you need to be lifting up and holding up and picking up and praying with and bringing to church and witnessing to and feeding are the ones that are hurting spiritually. They're hurting. They're lost. They're confused. They're hurt. They don't know what's going on. They are estranged from the body of Christ. Going on to verse 33, he said, "And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, 'Come, you blessed of my father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you for the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him, saying, 'When did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and gave you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Oh, when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?' And the king will answer and say to them, 'Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of these, my brethren, you did it to me.'" People of God, keep in mind, when you ignore those people that are hungry and sick and tired and naked and those people that are suffering, you are ignoring the word of God. I'm going to say it again. Christ told them, the king answered and said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of these." He's talking about those people that are out there that are stranded, that are spiritually hurt, that their heart is broken, they are mentally confused, they are hungry and thirsty and naked. Those same people, is who he's talking about, "Inasmuch as you did it to one of these, my brethren, you did it to me." Excuse me. "Then he will also say to those on the left hand, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not take me in. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me.' Then they also will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Verse 45, then he will answer them, saying, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And when these will go away into the everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Those of us that reach out and help those who are sick and naked and hungry and thirsty, those of us that reach out and pick up our brothers and sisters that need Christ, we are the righteous. We are the ones that God will reward with eternal life. We are the ones that are the blood of Christ. We are the ones that are the cup and the body of Christ. We are the ones, the righteous, those who do right by the word of God. If you cannot reach out and help someone who has fallen, who is spiritually staggering, who is sick, who's afflicted, who's in the hospital, who's in prison, they've been arrested, you don't know who they are, you don't know what they did, and it don't matter. As long as you reach out and try to help them see their way back to the cross, you reach out and pray with them and see their way back. You reach out and pull them out of the gutter and help them and give them a place to stay and feed them and clothe them and help them get back on their feet. Reach out there under that bridge and grab that homeless man and help him get back to where he's supposed to be. We're talking about human beings. Reach out there and help that homeless woman. We're talking about human beings. We're talking about the children of God, the least of these. They are the least of these. They are the least of these, the people of God that are hurting, that have fallen, that are in trenches, that are in gutters, that stink, that have dirty clothes on, that don't eat, they don't have nothing to drink, they don't have a job, they can't take care of themselves, they cannot function. The least of these, when you turn your back on the least of these, you're turning your back on Jesus Christ himself. That's what the word is talking about in this hour. We have a spiritual obligation. If we cannot do it in the four walls of the church, people of God, we need to get ourselves outside that church door. We need to start walking the streets and walking the highways and walking the byways to find the least of these and pull them back in. Those of you that are suffering and your church members are falling off, carry yourselves out the four walls of the church. Take off the nice suits and the nice dresses and put on some clothes that are suitable for the trench and go out there and pick up the least of these. Bring some people back into the church that the church has thrown out. Pick up the people that are hurting and take them and bring them in and feed them and clothe them. He'll give them a place to get a shower. Help them get back on their feet. You don't have to know nothing about them. You don't have to know what happened. If they want to talk, they'll talk. If they want to tell you their story, they'll tell you their story. But they need help without being judged somebody. They need somebody to know that they are loved. They need to understand that there's something else besides somebody that's going to judge them. Pick them up and bring them into the church. Get the prostitute off the corner. Get the drug dealer up out of the car. Be a witness. Pray for that man of God. Go to jail and pull him out of jail. Take the break of chains. Pray with them until they pray through. It's time for us to get the church back in order so that when Christ comes back, the righteous can stand. It's time. This happened before the Last Supper. Christ is telling us before the Last Supper what he wants us to do. He wants us to carry about. He wants us to take care of. He wants us to understand his purpose. The purpose of the cross is for the least of us. Let me tell you what, people of God, in this hour, that cross is for every man, woman, and child. That cross is for every single man and woman and child. Christ died for the sins of every single man, woman, and child. That same blood he shed on that cross redeemed everybody. There's not one single person that cross did not redeem, not one. Even the people that hate God, even the people that hate Christ, even the people that proclaim that they don't believe in God, there is no God, even the people that are satanic, that blood covers every single person because they too have an opportunity to turn their life around. All they got to do is repent. All they have to do is repent. The Bible declared in the last days that God will pour out his spirit on all flesh, and whosoever call on the name of God will be saved. Now, I have been reminded, well, Apostle, what about the scriptures that says that not every man that hollers out, Lord, Lord, will be saved? There's a lot of Christian folk that will call on Lord, Lord, and won't be saved because they know better and they still sin. He's talking about, this word is talking about those people that are out there that have backslidden, they've never been to church, they don't believe in God. They're the ones that we've got to worry about. They're the ones that we've got to go out and help them find their way. Those people that are in church that know better need to do better. I'm not preaching about that this evening. I am preaching about the people that are out there that don't know their way. They've never heard the way. They know there is a God, but they don't know how to find God. They are lost. They are suffering. They need help. And we are obligated by the word of God to reach out and help the brethren to find their way back to the cross. It is my desire this evening that if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that you take time right now to bow your head with me as I help lead you through to the cross. And I'll tell you what you do. Stop everything you're doing right where you are. And all you got to do is bow your head and say, Heavenly Father, I am a sinner, and I recognize the blood you shed for me on the cross. I recognize you on the cross. I know you died for my sins. And I also know that you rose again from the grave. So I do believe that you're alive today and that your life is my life. Not only am I repenting from my sins, I'm asking you to forgive me for everything that I've done wrong, whether I can speak it or not. I ask you to forgive me for my sins and help me to repent. Help me not to turn back and do the same thing again. I'm asking you now in the name of Jesus, I decree and declare that by your blood I am redeemed. I decree and declare that by the blood of Jesus I am saved. Now, if you believe that, you're saved. What I suggest and advise you to do is find yourself a good, full gospel church and start attending church so that you can be fed the word of God on a regular basis. Don't just pray and then go on about your business. Now go on and find yourself a good, Holy Ghost-filled church that you can enjoy being fed and grow in your Christianity, grow in your spirituality, grow and let God heal your heart in Jesus' name. Now I invite you that if you would like to support this broadcast, you could support it by sending a check to or money order to Holy Ground Temple at P.O. Box 593, Little River, South Carolina, 29566. Or you can also help support this program at paypal.me/Holy Ground Temple. Any amount will be a blessing. I encourage you tonight, saints, to reach out and help someone. Reach out and be that brother and sister in Christ that every man and woman needs. Reach out in the name of Jesus. Do what you can, not only for your own self-satisfaction. Help yourself feel good in that spiritual light that you walk in, but help someone else find their way back to the cross. It's rewarding. It is so rewarding that you help someone. God bless you. Until next week, I am Apostle Crystal Caldwell. You've been walking in the Spirit with me. Amen. And have a good
Hello? Hello? Dr. Hunter?
Yes, sir, you're on. Go ahead.
Dr. Hunter, you're all garbled up.
Okay, you go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead and teach your word. Go ahead. I'm going to put on me. Go ahead.
Dr. Hunter, you are all broken and garbled. Dr. Hunter, you may need to call another phone. You are all broken and garbled. Hello? Hello?
You on
Hello?
Now?
Yes, sir. Good evening, everybody. I'm Pastor Keith Chopin from the Shallow Deliverance Church of Houston, Texas, senior pastor of the Matthew 25 Outreach Ministry. And I want to talk to you just a little while this evening about our ministry and about the work of the evangelist. We named our ministry Matthew 25 from the Gospel of Matthew in 25 in the 31st verse when Jesus talks about the sheep and the goats. It says in the Bible that when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorified throne, glorious throne, and that all the nations will be gathered before him. And he will separate the people from one another as shepherds separate the sheep from the goats, the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. And then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, and take your inheritance. For the king prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. May God bless, add a blessing to my reading and to your hearing. What really matters to our Lord and Father God is that we do his holy and his perfect will. Our ministry is an outreach ministry. We walk in the fivefold, apostle, an evangelist, a teacher, a preacher, and a pastor. We believe in our ministry that there's enough churches throughout America and throughout the world that's already built, that when we go to many churches, they're half full. And the work of the church is important because the Bible tells us to forsake ourselves not in gathering with other brothers and sisters to worship God. But we believe that there are many, many people that are not inside the church because they've been hurt in the church. And so therefore, we believe that our mission by God is to go and find the people and to meet them at their point of need and at their point of pain. So in our ministry, we go out, we support two nursing homes, and we also support a homeless shelter for battered women and children. We also work with other churches to try to get the children of God back into the churches. So the five of us that walk in ministry together do so as evangelists. Although we have other gifts, the gift that unites us is our spirit of evangelism. We believe that we have to have people help people by showing them God's love, and that in showing the light and the love of God through our walk and through our ministry, they'll know that no matter what they're going through, that God is always with us as he promised in his word, even until the end of time. So for the people in the nursing homes and the hospital that we visit that are sick and dying, whose families don't come around, we go because God has sent us in love, know that he's with them. Even in the middle of the night at 3:00 in the morning when they ring the bell and the nurses don't respond, we go and tell them every Sunday and every day that we talk and meet with them, that even when the nurses don't respond to the bell that they push, or when they haven't heard from their children or grandchildren in weeks or months, that God is still right there, that they can always talk, even when the roommate has fallen asleep. They can still talk to God, even when they call a loved one and they go to the voicemail that we serve a Father, we have a God in heaven that loves us so much that he never sends us a voicemail. He always hears us, even when we think he's not answering, that he's always there. He's always listening. And even when he doesn't respond, he's heard our prayers and our cries. And that oftentimes when we don't feel like we've heard from God, that the answer is simply wait, or perhaps no, but he always answers. The problem with most of us, brothers and sisters, is that we spend too much time talking and we're very impatient. And we've got to quit treating God like he's the waiter at Cheddar's restaurant or at Burger King or McDonald's. He's our Father in heaven. He hears us and he always knows what's best for us. And oftentimes, again, when he blesses us and he gives us a reasonable measure of intelligence, we sometimes think that we're smarter than God. So we've got to understand that even when the answer is no, that our Father God, who knows us, who knows all about us, who knows our thoughts before we think, he'd always know what's best for us, even when we don't agree. God knows every hair on your body. He knows every secret that you hold in your heart. God knows. He knows your thoughts. He knows your desires. And again, he is the ultimate Father, and he knows what's always best for each and every one of us. So we've got to learn how to really, really trust God. We've got to learn how to really, really love God. We've got to come to be like obedient children, even when we grow old. We've got to go back and remember that we're once an adult but twice a child, and that our Father God is our Father in heaven. So whether we're 3 days or 95 years, he's still God, and he's God all by himself. Again, we're Matthew 25 Ministries, again, because we see people broken, and we see people that are battered. And oftentimes, my brothers and sisters, we are broken because we are so puffed up with pride that God has to break us down only to build us up again to remind us that he really is the potter and we really are the clay. Sometimes we have to lose to win. I believe it was Fantasia that had a song a few years ago that said, sometimes in order to win, you have to lose. Well, such is the same in life. Sometimes we get so busy in life. Sometimes we put people and places and things in our careers and our wives and our children and our grandchildren, we put some of those things before God. We often say that we love God more than we love anybody or anything, but that's not what our actions show. And I believe that sometimes in our brokenness, God needs to break us down for us to be humble and for us to realize that he is a loving God, but as the Bible said, he's a very jealous God as well. And so I think that we're oftentimes broken so that it's God who puts us back together again. Not another wife, not another husband, not more children, not a better job. But it's the God that gave us all the things that we have, every good gift that we have in life comes from our Lord and Savior. And so because God gives and because he's a giver, we sometimes get it twisted. We've got to realize that every gift, everything we have, and everything that we are in this life is because of the grace and the mercy and the love of the Almighty God himself. And so, again, I believe that's why we are sometimes broken, because in our brokenness, we come to rely and we come to depend upon the Almighty God. We get our priorities straight, and oftentimes our priorities are all messed up. We put the wrong things important than the loving God who loves us. You know, people, whether they're your family, your coworkers, or your friends, people often love us because of the things that we do with them, because of the things we do for them, or because of the things that we do to them. I've learned in my years of walking on this side of heaven that it's only God Almighty who loves us, not because of who we are, not because of how handsome, not because of how beautiful, not because of how small we are. Almighty God and God only, God loves us in spite of all of our faults. He loves us when we're not winning. He loves us even when we lose. He loves us even in our sin. And the Bible tells us that God hates sin. He absolutely hates sin. Oh, I'm sure you remember from the Bible that, and we're getting ready to celebrate the resurrection season here in a couple of weeks, that on that fateful Friday, that God turned his back for 3 hours on his beloved son, Jesus the Christ, because he hates sin that much. And when we are disobedient and when we sin, God hates it also, but his love for us It's because of his love for us that he not only gave his only begotten son. It's because of his love for us that even when we don't love God, even when we do what God did on Good Friday, when we turn our backs on God, God, our Father, never, ever turns his back on us. And that's one of the things that the Lord wanted me to share with you tonight. I don't know where you are in the sound of my voice, and I don't know what you're going through. Serve a God who is my daddy and your dad, and he knows all about you. He knows everything that you're going through, everything you've gone through. He knows the things you're going to go through tomorrow. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forevermore. He's the same God for you and for me and for every one of us who are his children. He's the same God that he always has been and always will be. He's the same God that has brought us through tough times. He's the same God who has made a way on more than one occasion, not just for me, but for you too. He's made a way out of no way. Oh, I'm sure you remember those times that there was more month in your life than there was money. And all of a sudden you found some money in the cushion of your sofa, or you found some money in your suit or your purse. That was God. Those times that you got bad news from the doctor, whether it was about your personal health or the health of your mother or one of your children or a family member or a friend who you really love. And the doctor said that there was nothing they can do. And God, and the doctor said, it's just a matter of time. We've done all we can do. But God said, not yet. And so whatever illness, whatever disease you were afflicted with or your friend or your mother or your father or your children, God said no. And God healed those things that the doctors say couldn't be healed. Many times people have counted you out, but God never counted you out. Those times that you were down, when it looked like even to you it was over with, God said it's not over with. When it looked like it was finished, maybe that one thing, whatever in your life, was finished. But I've learned also in my life and in my walk with God that just because one thing is finished doesn't mean that everything's done. And so we have to learn as children of God and as Christians, we have to learn that we have to ignore what it looks like. And we have to ignore what it sounds like and what it feels like and what other people are telling us. That it's not over with until God says it's over with. And so we have to quit listening. Even when the devil whispers in our mind and tells us that God has forgotten us, that he's forsaken us, that our family don't love us, that our friends aren't who they say they are, who we thought they were, we've got to learn to ignore all of those voices, even the ones that are inside of our head and inside of our heart. We've got to learn to lean on, and we all have to learn to depend on God. Amen? He's a friend who sticks closer to you than your mother and your brother and your sister. Again, even our family loves us because of the things. Their love is conditional. The only love I've ever had in my life, the only love I've ever experienced, and the only love, if you really are honest with yourself, that you've ever experienced that has been without condition, is the love that God has for you. Because sometimes when we don't do right and we all fall short, sometimes even our children and our parents are disappointed. And sometimes they feel like they hold back or withdraw their love. Oh, but God, he never, ever takes his love back in spite of how much we're messed up. In spite of how much we fall short, God still loves us. And again, each of us who are children of God have been given the same thing that Jesus gave his disciples. We all have been given, as children of God, children of the light. We've been given a commission, and a commission is the authority to do something. We've also been given a commandment or a command by God to go forth and to make disciples of all men, women, and children. We've all been given the commission and command to let our light shine, to let the light that God has within us shine. So that through our light and through our love, each and every one as children of God, we might draw all men and women and children not near to us, not for our glory, but for the glory of God, that when they see the God in us, they'll know that there's God in them as well. That when they feel the love from us, which comes from God, even when they feel unloved, forsaken, and even when they stop loving themselves, when we show them the love that God has put inside of us and the love that God has for each of us, then it will restore them. Love. Love does cover a multitude of sins. Amen? It covers a multitude of sins. Whatever is wrong, whatever hurt, whatever pain you felt, love is the counterbalance to whatever disappointment you felt, whatever pain you've known. love is the greatest healer. And so God has given us a commandment and a commission, not only to make disciples, but he's given us each a commandment and a command and a commission to love one another and to love him with every fiber of our being. I'm sure you remember from reading in your Bible, you've heard it from your pastor, your priest, your rabbi. You've heard the commandment that there was a teacher, a Pharisee, who walked up to Jesus. I think he was the teacher of the law. And he walked up to Jesus when he said, Master or teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus looked at him. And he said, the greatest commandment, and I'm paraphrasing, is two things. The greatest commandment in the law is that first we love that you love God. That you love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul and all your strength. And Jesus said to him that the second is likened to the first, and that is that you love your neighbor as you love yourself. Now, that's the greatest commandment. Moses was given on the mountain 10 commandments that we shouldn't kill and we shouldn't murder and we shouldn't steal and we shouldn't covet our neighbor's wife. And many of us have fallen short. We violate those commandments. But again, I want to remind you tonight, God wants me to tell you tonight that the greatest commandment is the commandment of love. He still doesn't set aside the other nine. Still doesn't want you committing adultery. Still don't want you lying. Still don't want you committing murder. But he wants you to remember that the greatest commandment that he's ever given to us, and it happened over 4,000 years ago, is that we love him and that we love one another. And sometimes I think because of the trials and the tribulations and the changes and the ups and downs and the turnarounds that we go through in this life, sometimes we forget about the love. It's only what we do for Christ, and it's only love. Love is the only thing that really lasts. Again, this is Pastor Keith Chopin from Shiloh Deliverance Church of Houston, Texas, and from the Matthew 25 outreach. Remember, again, if you don't remember anything else I've said tonight, that love, that we are to love one another, and that we are to go out and we are to show God's love. And so to all the pastors and preachers and teachers and to each of you, I want to remind you that the harvest is plenty and the workers are few. And so we should come out of the church house and quit waiting for people to come inside the church. That those of us that are inside the church should also go outside the church and to go to where people are. So if the next time you see somebody homeless on the streets or whatever city you live in that ask you for something to eat, remember what's stated in Matthew 25. Because one day when Jesus comes through the cloud, he's going to ask you. It could be an angel. You never know the angels that you run across. Jesus will ask you, when I was hungry, why didn't you give me something to eat? Again, God bless you, and I'll take any questions at all that you might have.
I would ask, when was the next celebration of Jesus?
Dr. Hunter, I'm sorry I didn't hear you.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Dr. Hunter's radio phone is messing up.
How you doing, my dear sister? How you doing? God bless you.
God bless you. You did very good. I don't have any questions. I just want to say praise the Lord. It was and it was very clear and came through very good. Last night mine didn't. I don't know if it did, but we thank God the radio didn't have any problems tonight. Thank you, Jesus. You explained. You came through so clear and so wonderful, and I don't have any questions other than, as you already know, my question is, if love is the key, why come not name yourself love? Love is what we do. You know, that would be the only question, but that's not one that you need to answer because I already got the answer. So I thank you.
Amen. Amen. And the young lady who's speaking tonight is one of the five who walk with us. She is the evangelist. Her name is Arroyo, Ruth Princess Love. She's one of the five that walk with us in our ministry together as we do God's work. So God bless you, woman of God.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments?
May God bless you, Pastor. I just want you to know that it was awesome. Everything was in full clarity. And thank God for what you're doing and asking God just to continue to give you zeal and those that are walking with you, that you will walk together in love. The Bible says, I can two walk together except they agree. And as long as there's an understanding that it's all about Jesus. It's not about he, they, or she. It's all about Jesus. And Jesus is the head of everything that we do. And if we keep Jesus in the front of the love, it's going to automatically be in the midst of it. So thank God for you. We encourage you just to stay focused on what God has got you doing. And whatever you do, amen, always do it in love. Amen. But it was awesome. God bless you.
God bless you. And that was my apostle. That's our covering apostle, Milton Gidden Jr., the New Testament Church in Bryan, Texas. So God bless you, and God bless you for your leadership, apostle. God bless you.
Thank you, sir.
Any other comments tonight?
Just wanted to say the prophetess love is good in your voice. You always have such a pleasant, always a pleasant a sensation when I hear your voice, thanking God for her. Been knowing for a while. We just love her to death. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Love you too.
And if anybody wants to give any donations to our ministry, we're going to ask Apostle to give you the name and address of the ministry and Brian, our covering, and any donation that you want to make to the ministry. I'll ask Apostle Gooden to come on that you want to give for us to continue God's work. Apostle?
Amen.
Apostle Gooden? Anybody else? Any other comments? We still have 6 minutes. If there's no other comments or that you have tonight, I want to say to all of you, thank you for tuning in tonight. And again, if there's any contributions, Apostle Gooden, are you still on the radio? Amen. Amen. Any contribution that you want to make, you can send any contributions to the Shiloh Deliverance Church. We're at 3106 Psalms Road, number 3106 Psalms Road, Katy, Texas, 77449. If you want to contribute or seed, plant any seeds or sow any seeds. But we thank you all for tuning in if there's nothing else. Any other comments? If there are no other comments, may God continue to order your steps, and may God continue to bless and to keep each and every one of you. And now may the grace which is God and the sweet communion of his Holy Spirit, I pray that it continue to rest and to rule and abide not only in your lives and in your hearts and your minds, henceforth and forevermore. And as children of God, we should all say amen. Amen. Good night. We love you from Houston. Good night, everybody.